And some of the things that had been going through my mind were things that he addressed, and very much related to what he had to say. But I still wanted to follow up with what I had been planning. Now, as you all know, this fall has not been the best for many of us. On September 11th, Mary Leedy died, and that wasn't all that much of a surprise at that point. We had been expecting it. However, the call that I received just a half an hour before she died was a surprise, and that was that Jana's uncle, Daryl Leedy, had died of a heart attack just a few minutes before. Now, shortly after these things, right, we went to the Feast of Tabernacles, and I think most of us had a good time there, but you know, shortly after getting back, Jan and I both came down with COVID. Some of you also came down with COVID either at the feast or shortly thereafter or just before. So, you know, many church members, and including members from both here and up north, were sick with COVID, and some quite sick. And my brother David was also one of those. Now, we held a memorial service here for Mary on October 16th, and my brother died the following day. Now, I don't bring all this up to call us out as anything special or, you know, anything like that. But I think in general, I would say that the last few years have been difficult for everyone. So what's the point? Well, I guess there are a couple of things. One is that every one of us face trials in our lives. Sometimes it isn't just one thing, but a whole bunch of things at once. So second is that we can all sympathize. We've all been there. And we all understand. In just our two congregations, between members and family, there have been over 15 deaths in the last few years. David and Mary are just the most recent. In addition, there are many other severe trials that our members have been facing. Some of you have been facing. So in light of all of this, I thought I would share some of my thoughts, some things that help me keep all of these things in perspective. And for part of it, at least, I want to do that by talking about some things that were brought up at the celebration of life that we had for my brother out in California. And of course, we're certainly going to look at some of the words that God inspired to be preserved for us in His Word. You know, there are some things in the Bible that don't seem to make sense at first. It takes some time and effort, I think, to fully understand. Let's turn to the book of Ecclesiastes and start with one of those. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. And we're going to read parts of the first two verses. Ecclesiastes 7, verses 1 and 2. It says, "A good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. Better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. How would you feel if you received a sympathy card from someone after the death of a loved one, and that verse is featured in it? Would it cheer you up? How can the day of death be better than the day of one's birth? And how can it be better to go to a house of mourning than to go to a party? We're going to come back to that in a bit. But we might also shed a little light on it as we take our time getting there. There is another set of verses here in Ecclesiastes that are generally read at our services, whether they be a funeral, a memorial, or celebration of life. These are found in chapter 3. You can probably sing them too. Ecclesiastes 3, verses 1 through 4. To everything there is a season. A time for every purpose under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. Now these verses, I think, tend to make more sense to us. There are contrasts we see here. We are all born and we will all die. Sometimes we're happy, sometimes not so happy. We laugh, we cry. All of these things are part of life. So I guess the question is, how do we go from crying back to laughing? How do we get back to dancing from mourning? Because we all do need to do that. In some ways, that is what Mr. Kubik has addressed in the E! News over the past couple of weeks. 2 weeks ago, he said, maybe we need to take a break from all of our electronic devices so that we can better focus on God. I think the same thing is true when we get caught up in thinking about all the negative things in our lives. If we don't take a break from that and focus on the other things, we might just sink deeper and deeper into depression. Maybe all of this is my therapy session. Talking about all of these things that have been going through my head the last couple of months. I want to start with Mary for a moment, because you all knew her. But like everyone, you know, there are things that we know about a person, and there are things that we don't know about a person. I would say that the general assessment of Mary from all who knew her is that she was a godly woman and set a great example of service to others. And I certainly don't disagree with that. But you know, she never understood why anyone would think she was anything special. The things that she did, in her mind, were just the things anyone would do. But we all know different. People don't always do those things, do they? People saw something different in her and wanted to talk to her. I don't know how many people, strangers, would come up to her and talk to her about things that I would never think about talking to somebody else about. She just had that kind of impact on other people. See, I don't think any one of us really understands what kind of an impact we have on others. Mary certainly did not. So I want to talk about that. Now, I know that there are a lot of people in this world that want to make a difference. And we hear a lot of people talking about how we need to live intentionally in everything that we do so that we can have this greater impact on the world. And that's all fine and good, but that's not really the kind of impact that I want to address today. I'm not sure I can really define exactly right now what it is that I do want to talk about. So I want to show you by talking about my brother, David. Specifically about what some of the people who spoke at his celebration of life had to say. Now, before we can do that, I think I need to tell you a little bit about my brother. Because most of you, I don't think, even met David. David was just 14 months younger than I was. He had a bachelor's degree in mechanical engineering and a master's degree in environmental engineering. He began his work career at the Los Angeles Department of Water and Power. And then he transferred to the Metropolitan Water District, where he worked for the last 27 years. Now, he worked on several large projects focused on future planning. He became the section leader for the design group. And Metropolitan is the largest supplier of treated water in the United States. They serve roughly 19 million people in Southern California. Now, for the celebration of life, those he worked with at Metropolitan provided a video that had about a half a dozen different people that he worked with who talked about the impact he had at work. They talked about his skills as an engineer, a planner, and a manager. I see that that's playing, but we don't want it to play yet, so. And we'll want to hear it. So anyway, so they did talk about, like I said, they talked about his skills as an engineer, as a planner, as a manager, and they also talked about some other things that he will be remembered for. The chief engineer for Metropolitan Water District said that regardless of his positive impact on the company and the future water supply for Southern California, that what he will be remembered for most is his impact on the people that he worked with. We're going to play a portion of this video that his colleagues produced. This is just one of the people who spoke about David But I think that this one really sums up what the rest had to say. So we're going to play this section now. Somehow we're not getting sound. I think you might need to turn up the volume there, yeah. And then I think you have this muted. Okay.
Always kept his office door open and sometimes called to ask what was for lunch. David had a vision for design section. We expanded our horizons to become more service-oriented and collaborative. David also committed to mentoring and succession planning. Under his leadership, we have recruited new staff that is now 30% of the total design force. His initiatives of design process improvement, training, and innovation set the path for our future generations. David contributed to professional engineering organizations and served as a chair of AWWA Leadership Development Committee. He was quoted in a recent article which says, "Help yourself by helping others," and that is David's walk of life. David was inspirational and thoughtful. He cared about the growth and development of his staff while demonstrating fairness and integrity. I wish I had more time with David so I could learn more from him. David's love for family was undeniable. Every time he spoke about his family, his expression was filled with joy and energy. I didn't understand that. David's success comes from the devotion and support of his family. As we recognize David's professional accomplishments, we are also here to celebrate the love and admiration of his family. To live is to change. And David has shown us the richness of his life, his courage of not content with status quo, and his ability to elevate our minds. Last month, the world has lost a loving husband, a caring father, and a visionary in engineering. David, you will forever be missed in our hearts. God bless your soul, and peace be with your family.
You know, I do think that my brother did want to make a difference to those who he worked with. But I don't think those things that he did work-wise were the things that made the biggest impact on those who knew him. The biggest impact came from the way that he lived his life. And I think you see that with what he just said. So with that in mind, I'd like you to turn to Matthew chapter 5. Because what we read here describes the impact that I'm really talking about. When we live our lives as Christians ought to live, when we do the right things, treat people the right way, show honor, respect, and love, people will notice. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. Jesus here says, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." I think it really comes down to this. What kind of people ought we to be? We're going to take a look at a couple of stories from the Gospels that I hope will help answer that. And part of this comes from another individual who spoke at David's Celebration of Life, Mike Williams. We've known Mike and his family for over 50 years. When David bought his first home, Mike lived there for a while. Along the way, Mike moved out of state, but they kept in touch. They would visit each other whenever they were near, and they went to the feast together on occasion. Now, Mike used a story that we find in Mark chapter 2 to describe the type of friend that David was to him. I want to explore that a bit. The story is pretty familiar to all of us. Jesus heals a paralytic. So how does that describe the type of person that we ought to be? Well, we're going to read the story. It begins in, as I said, Mark chapter 2, verse 1 through verse 11. It says, "And again he entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Immediately many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them. Then they came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not enter near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, 'Son, your sins are forgiven you.'" Now, of course, the scribes who were there were offended by what he said. Then Jesus told him, because of that, after addressing that, that Jesus then says this. He says, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house," which the man did. So again, I would ask, how does this describe the type of person that we ought to be? Well, that's what Mike talked about. He said that this describes the type of friend that David was and the type of person that he wants to be. So let's go back to verse 2 for a moment. It says, "There was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door." So this paralytic wanted to be healed, but he couldn't even get near Jesus. In verse 3, we see that this paralytic was being carried by four men. We see that he had at least four friends that cared enough about him to carry him to wherever Jesus was, in the hope that he might be healed. But they couldn't get there. So what do they do? Sorry, we can't get over there. No, they don't let that stop them. They find a way to get on the roof. They tear the roof apart and they lower him right down at Jesus' feet. Would you go to all that trouble? Would you take the time, because it's even more inconvenient than just carrying your friend, to find another way to get where he wanted to get to? Let's look at verse 5 and see how Jesus responds. Says, "When Jesus saw their faith." See, it wasn't just the faith of the man who wanted to be healed. His four friends believed enough not only to carry him there, but to do whatever it took to get him in front of Jesus. Jesus. They all had faith. And Jesus saw that. And so he says, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." Now, Mike talked about this as having rooftop friends. People who were willing to go up to the rooftop, whatever it takes to help you in your time of need. He said that's the type of friend that David was to him and that he wants to be to others. Now, there's another story in the Gospels that is somewhat similar to this. We find it in John chapter 5, verses 1 through 8. So here we find another story about a paralytic that Jesus healed. And in fact, some of the words are almost the same as what were used in the story we just read. In Mark chapter 2, verse 11, it said, take up your bed and go to your house. Yeah, keep that in mind as we read through John 5, verses 1 through 8. It says, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. Then whoever stepped in first, after the stirring of the water was made, after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. We don't really understand the whole dynamics of this, but for our purposes today, that doesn't matter. What matters is that here, whoever was able to step in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Now, a certain man was there who had infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there in that condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me." And Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed, and walk." 38 years. That's a long time to wait your turn to be healed, isn't it? Sitting by a pool that gets stirred up every once in a while. Thirty-eight years waiting for your chance, having no friend to help you. He didn't have those four friends who were willing to help him get where he needed to be. No one to help, regardless of what it took. Until Jesus came along. Jesus was a friend to the friendless. What kind of friend are you to the one who needs help? See, I think we all need to be a friend to those who need it. And at times we all need it. And we all need to be there, whatever it takes, to help our friend who needs help to be healed. And I think that what we all need most is a spiritual healing, not the physical one. And yes, I realize that there are plenty who need physical healing as well. There is a time for mourning. But what do we accomplish with such things as a memorial service or a celebration of life? We look at the good things that our loved ones, our friends, our fellow Christians have done. We look at the impact that they had on others, and it can stir us up to do more, to be better than we did before. It's funny, but it is often the place of mourning that helps us to heal, to start our road back to laughing and dancing again. Another person who witnessed those healings was Peter. Peter also talks a little bit about what kind of person you ought to be. We find that in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 13. And I think this is part of our healing as well, that we do understand the plan of God, that we do understand the blessings that we have been given to be called, to be a part of His family, and what all of that is about. 2 Peter 3, verses 10 through 13. He writes, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heaven will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promises, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells." See, we know that that is all coming. We understand where we are heading and where those who have gone before us will be as well. You know, as I was putting this together, the Thanksgiving holiday was just ahead of us. So my next thought was, how can we be thankful at this time of the year after experiencing all the things that we have? All of the trials and the difficulties that people have gone through in the last few months. Well, I think that starts to answer it, doesn't it? What we just read. We do understand. I think when we do experience the death of a loved one, there are other scriptures that help us. Things that we don't always think about. I found it interesting that while we were in California for David's memorial, a couple of people brought up Isaiah 57 verses 1 and 2. I don't think it's something that we always think about, but maybe more and more we will. I want to read this in the New Living Translation. I think it puts it a little bit better. Meaning is the same, but Isaiah 57 verses 1 and 2 says, "Good people pass away. The godly often die before their time, but no one seems to care or wonder why. No one seems to understand that God is protecting them from the evil to come. For those who follow godly paths will rest in peace when they die." I think maybe that might be a little bit more comforting than the last one, if we got that in a card. So See, I think of some of the people we have known and the times in which they died. They're at peace. The things that the rest of us go through, the difficult, the crazy things, all the things that have taken place in the church, they don't have to experience those things. The things that are ahead of us, they've already made it. They'll be there. It's not a bad thing when you look at it that way, is it? Those who follow godly paths will rest in peace when they die. Sounds like something Paul could have written too, right? What I choose, I don't know. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. There are a couple of sections here that I'd like to read, because I think they also help put things in perspective. We truly have been blessed to be called to understand the things that God has opened our minds to. And you know, we all have family. Family regardless of what our physically family is or is not. It's one of the things that Jesus promised. Right? If you lose your father or your mother, I'll give you more. And we see that. And we are that. And we have that. We need to let ourselves be open to it. But there are always others there that can give us help and comfort when we need it. And the strange thing is that when we're willing to do that for others, we feel better. That's part of the healing. When we give of ourselves and we open up to others and share those things, we benefit just as much or maybe even more. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The God who commanded light to shine out of the darkness cares about you and me, and has opened our hearts and our minds and our ears to understand these things. Verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. See, we don't always understand why things happen, but we know that we can make it through. We know that God loves us, that He is with us and cares about us, and that He is going to do everything in His power to get us to where we need to be. Verse 9, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. See, no matter what we go through, it doesn't compare. We deserve death. And yet we complain about some of the things that we suffer. Jesus didn't deserve anything that he suffered through. And he didn't complain. It's not easy, but we need to be a little bit more like that. Drop down to verse 16 and read verses 16 through 18. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. That's what we're looking for. That's what we are asking God to help us to be and where we need to get to. And He will. He will finish the work that He has begun in us. He promises us that. If we don't give in, He's not going to give in. I want to go back to Ecclesiastes once again. Ecclesiastes 7, where we started. We read these two verses earlier. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 1 and 2. A good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. Better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. For that is the end of all men, and the living will take it to heart. I want to read this also in the New Living Translation. Puts it just a little bit different. It says, a good reputation is more valuable than costly perfume, and the day you die is better than the day you were born. Better to spend your time at funerals than at parties. After all, everyone dies, so the living should take this to heart. So we asked earlier, how can the day of death be better than the day of one's birth? Well, we're born into a mess of a world, aren't we? And things don't seem to get better as time goes on. Now, we have our moments. We have our good times, our joys. You know, all in all, I love my life. I've had a great life. At the same time, we all suffer. We all go through troubles and trials and difficulties. We all experience pain and suffering and loss. But if we live our lives as we are called to do, if we put our faith and our hope in God, if we do everything we can possibly do to serve Him and to serve His people, then we go to sleep. And we wake up in His kingdom as spirit beings. Nothing in this life can touch that. How can it be better to go to a house of mourning than to go to a party? Because hopefully, we take stock of our lives at those times. We see the impact that others may have had on those that they came into contact with. And we realize that we too have a part to play. That we too have been called by God to do a work, to preach the gospel in our lives. To live our lives in such a way that people can look at it and glorify God. Because of the good things that we do in our lives. See, if we're wise, we think about those things. We look at our lives and say, I can do better than I have done so far. And maybe they will give us the inspiration to do those things that we want to do. That maybe things that we put off that we will go forward and do. So we can learn and grow and be better. I want to play one more clip. This one is from a school friend of David's that he met his freshman year in high school. So we've known him also for about 40 some years. And there's two parts to this. We're going to stop it halfway through, but let's go ahead and play that first part.
I met David when I was 15 years old at Montgomery Union High School. And then by the next year, I found myself at the school indoor swimming pool late at night on a catwalk above the deep end of the pool. Me knowing David and finding myself on that catwalk are related, which I'll return to in a moment. I lived about a block away from David, and we had many classes together in school. We both ran cross country, and I would often visit David's home, and he shared his music albums with me. I think technically they were actually Craig's first music albums, and I apologize now, a few decades later, if we scratched them. But on those visits, David introduced me to artists such as Yes, the Steve Miller Band, Queen, and Billy Joel. It was a real treat to listen to the music in the peaceful atmosphere of David's home. David's mother, Mrs. Clark, was very hospitable and made me feel very welcome. I thank you for that. David was a leader and an organizer.
Okay, so he goes on to talk about some of the things that they organized, if we can pause. He also talks about how much David cared about others and had compassion on them, and that he brought people together. So one of the things that he did in the picture that was up there actually included my brother and his family, but also Jamil and his wife and their other friend that he talks about, Richard and his wife, and would get together with them on a fairly regular basis. So let's go ahead and play this next section.
David, when I was 15 years old, yep. We passed together in school. We both ran cross country.
Yeah, this. We need to go forward a little bit further. There you go. Oh, that went too far.
Section 3.5 years ago.
Apologize now, a few decades later, if we scratched them. David casually said, I've got an improvement.
Okay, so back up just about, there you go.
I argue from emails,
yeah, one more.
And texts. We can organize her.
Okay, there you go. So we can just play from here.
Now, I should say, David and I did not agree on everything. We did not see eye to eye on news stories and some politics. We had debates from emails and texts. And during one of those debates, I received a phone call from David, and I worried that we might argue over the phone. Instead, David casually said, I've got a new ping pong table, and I think we should break it in. So 3 months ago, David organized a dinner at his home, and the three of us, David, Rich, and I, played ping pong to David's soundtrack of Yes, Queen, Billy Joel, and the Steve Miller Band. We had a wonderful evening and ate Carolina's delicious Peruvian dinner. Going back to 1977, I was on that catwalk peering down at the swimming pool from the height of the ceiling. From that perspective, the high dive looked about the size of a small twig, and the low dive looked like it was the size of maybe a small toothpick. Worse, my shirt and pants and shoes and socks I had previously thrown down and now were stuck in the bleachers. With my heart thumping, I looked a little ahead, and there I could see David jumping from the catwalk into the pool, hair flying without a care in the world. I had no choice. I had to follow him, thinking that if David can do this, so can I. And as I'm falling, I'm thinking that I just need to follow David. David, I know you can hear me, and I want to thank you for being a great friend, and I hope to still follow you wherever you are.
Now, I thought this was remarkable in a couple of ways. Jamil has nothing to do with our church or our beliefs. I think you could tell that probably. In fact, as far as I know, he's Muslim. And I thought it was interesting where he talks about their differences in politics and other things, that they were able to debate those things and talk about those differences, but it never affected their friendship. We sometimes have a hard time with that in the church. And that is something that is important that we can do with people. We can disagree, but it doesn't have to destroy our relationship. We know the people of this world do not understand, right? They have not been called now. And we have to get along. Jesus prayed on that last Passover evening that God not take us out of the world, but that he keep us from the evil one. See, we need to get along with others in the world. We live in a world that is hostile to God, yet we live in the middle of that world. And we live in that world for a reason, that we set an example, that we be that light. Now, the other thing that I thought was remarkable, and I don't think that he really understood what he said, but he said, I hope to still follow you wherever you are. Isn't that what we want? To have that kind of an impact on others. That when people's minds are opened, that they will recognize us and say, I want to be like them. I want to follow him or her because they know the truth. They have always understood those things. Earlier we read Ecclesiastes 3 verses 1 through 4. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. See, I don't think all of those things are all that far apart. We celebrate our loved ones in ways that we can still laugh about the things that we did together. We love who they were. We have been blessed to have them as a part of our lives. And we can be thankful for that and appreciate it. You know, it's interesting that my two nieces, after the service, when I talked to them, they said, we love the stories. And that weekend, we laughed about some of the things that we did. They're not that far apart. Down in verse 8, it says something else that I think is interesting. It says, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. Isn't that what we're looking for? See, unfortunately, there does have to be a war before there can be true peace. So again, I don't think they're as far apart as we sometimes think. I want to finish by just reading what it says in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 50 through 58. Again, this talks about the things that we understand, the future, the time that we are looking forward to, the time that we will be reunited with those that we love. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, we beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.